Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine.
Bonsoir, darling. Happy Friday. Happy April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how happy.
Yeah.
Well, it's another month.
Okay, but yesterday it was raining, sleeting, snowing, and then the sun wants to peek out. What kind of crazy crap is that?
It wasn't no snow where I'm at. It was cold today. this morning, it was cold outside. Straight cold.
Mm-hmm. Felt like wintertime, didn't it?
I was going to drop some tomatoes in the ground. They would have been dead as a doorknob.
Yeah, it does feel like winter all over again. It's supposed to be springtime.
I know. Supposed
Come on,
to be.
Spring. Mm. Come on, spring. Man. Back that thing up.
Uh-oh. There you go. Well, before I start, before I do this rundown, I want to give a shout out to my Aunt Shirley. She's listening tonight, and Miss Lala.
Yay!
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hello, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All
That's
right.
Inspiring.
And we got a new audience. So you might behave tonight, Mom.
Yeah, I'll behave.
Yeah, we'll see
y'all
on that last. All right.
Right.
Go ahead, crank it up.
All right, we're going to crank it up tonight. Our hot topic tonight, another attack at the U.S. Capitol, unfortunately. MLB moving All-Star game from Georgia over new voting laws. Also, Matt Gauze under a sex trafficking probe. Okay. I'll hit it and quit it headlines tonight. We got quite a bit tonight, so we're going to hit them and quit them tonight, y'all. Former GOP Speaker John Boehner calls out Ted Cruz in new book. Also, Derek Chauvin's use of force, totally unnecessary testimony. Also, East Tennessee State players say their coach was pushed to resign. And two teenage girls charged with murder after alleged carjacking. Also, seven Texas officers fired in the death of 26-year-old Marvin Scott. And April Fool's Day prank goes wrong. Our cocktail of the week, we got a good one tonight. April Showers cocktail. What's popping with Papa Didi? Our weird news. Of course, we got to lighten it up. A not haunted house scares up in interest in Massachusetts town. Also, Ravens accused of stealing groceries from Alaska Costco customer. And Chicago porch pirate busted. Man, that's a lot to say. I'm just saying with red wine, why are we so disrespected? Living for the city with Papa Didi. I got quite a bit with my Hollywood wrap-up. Some interesting stuff tonight. The kiss the list and the last word. So sit back, relax, get your favorite cocktail, and we'll be back with the Hot Topic.
It's another Friday night at the Pajama Party Show, and we're here with our PJs on. Because you know we don't allow clothes in here. If you enjoyed the Pajama Party Show, why not invite a friend or tell a neighbor to tune in right now? Go ahead and text them. I'll wait. Tell them to call us right now at 914-803-4306. And if they want to join in on the conversation, tell them to press 1 so that we'll know they have something to say. We'd love to meet your neighbors, friends, and relatives. So send them a text, email them, or call them up and tell them to join us for the Pajama Party live on Blog Talk Radio. The more the merrier, or is it Misery Loves Company, or whichever. Tell them to call us up on 914-803-4306 if they just want to listen, or press 1 if you want to join the conversation. Now let's get back to the crew and more of the Pajama Party Show while I try to find out who hid the belt from my robe. I tell you the truth. Y'all know you're so wrong for that.
All right, welcome back to Pajama Party. One of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine.
Bonsoir, darling. Let's see. Before we hit these hot topics, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have an early caller. So let's do that. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Pajama Party Show. You are live. Go ahead with your comment.
Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing today? This evening.
Not too bad.
Fantastic.
Well, we're sitting here enjoying the pajama party. I just got a plate of fried fish and some fried potatoes with onion. So I am just so excited to hear all these wonderful topics tonight. But we definitely need to say a prayer about the officer that lost his life today at the Capitol.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
So sad. I'm just so thankful and excited to have you guys back live again because y'all fooled me last week.
Sorry, I'm bad.
Don't fool me and take it away from me.
Well,
it's great to be back.
Yeah, good to be back. But we do appreciate you guys listening.
Always.
And
it's all about support.
Thank you so much for your support. Absolutely.
We love you.
Love you too.
All right, peace out.
All right.
We ain't going nowhere.
Officer, we ain't going nowhere.
You're listening. Why are you going to say peace out?
Oh, I'm just telling you. I thought they were hanging up.
All right. Enjoy the fish and the potatoes.
Okay, we're listening. Y'all can go ahead and mute us because it's a comedy show.
And happy Good Friday.
Happy Good Friday.
All right.
I just love our listeners.
I agree. Yes, they are.
All right.
Kettle,
you are in pole position. What you got for us tonight?
Unfortunately, some other things are going on here at this Capitol. I'm not sure what's in that Capitol, but at least one U.S. Capitol police officer has died after being struck by a suspect in a vehicle. Another officer was hospitalized with injuries, and the suspect is dead, unfortunately. USCP Chief Ms. Pittman said at a press conference following the incident, officers shot the suspect when he exited the vehicle, ignored the officer's verbal commands to back down, and then lunged towards them with a knife. Wow. Police identified the officer killed as William Billy Evans. He was an 18-year veteran of the department. The incident marks the first breach of Capitol security since January. Here we go again. Everybody knows the mob. President Trump sent people out there, whatever. The attack resulted in the deaths of one Capitol police officer and four rioters and caused injuries more than 140. That was the January 6th incident. It goes on to say, this has been extremely difficult time for U.S. Capitol Police after the events of January 6th, Pittman said, and now the events that have occurred here today. I did see the press conference live. She said, pray for Capitol Police and Ms. Evans' family and everything, and they just need some help, the Capitol Police, as far as what the man upstairs, because I just don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what is in the Capitol that they want. It's just a building. I mean, it represents a lot of stuff, so it's like you want to destroy the Capitol because of your crazy ideologies and the crazy things that you're thinking about or want to do. It just doesn't make any sense. We have to continue to follow this. Also, the chief of police of DC police, he was there also. Robert Conte, he was there and he spoke also. So they're working together. I think they're going to take over the investigation, and they're going to work together and just try to see what's going on. Hopefully there's no extremists or anything like that. So we just have to hope and pray that it's not. So we'll see.
What, wasn't the National Guard on the scene as well?
Sure. Yeah.
They're still in the city, right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling pretty safe. What you say, Bill Papa?
Yeah, so they showed up on cue like they was supposed to, you know, on the 6th of January, but was held back by your boy. So, you know, thank goodness we got real leadership in office.
Yeah, so. I agree. Yeah. But I just want to chime in with the mayor. She just needs to step up somewhat, you know, and because – besides this, we've been having some other shooting incidents, and I don't want to be labeled as, quote-unquote, the murder capital of the, you know, again, like we were before. So let's just all work together and just try to solve some things, get it done. So.
Well, I think that the mayor has been too focused on developing buildings and making money for the... I'm assuming for the city. I'm not going to speak on who may be getting what kind of kickbacks and whatnot.
Speak on.
But,
that's what
I'm just saying I'm not going to say it because I don't know if that's a fact. I will say that I am curious as to who's making all this money because they are popping up buildings like you play with Lego blocks.
Wow.
You know, like every time I go through the city now, I see either a brand new hole or a brand new building. And I'm like, well, who is taking up residence in all these buildings?
Yeah, I said
when you still got people sleeping under the bridges and homeless
right around the corner from
but they keep putting up all these buildings with the, you know, nice grocery store on the ground level. All that's fine and good, but you got to take care of the people who actually live in the city. You can't keep doing stuff to attract people from other places. Let's take care of our own first.
I said this like 5 years ago, you know, when I seen it happen because I'm down there every day. And I just think that she's going to be replaced by the very same people, the constituents and the architectors and all that. It's going to be a big time. The person that owns most of these buildings is going to end up being the next mayor. And that's what's going to blindside her. But, I mean, I'm not wishing no bad luck on her, but you know, beware the eyes of March. You know what I mean?
I mean, I understand it's hard to bite the hand that feeds you, but somebody needs to do something because folks are just going crazy with, like what Kettle was saying, that the gun situation just day after day is shootings every place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're, even if you get the culprit, that doesn't mean that it won't happen again with a whole nother group of people. Day after day, this stuff is out of control. And I realize that the police can't, like in Minority Report, they can't see it before it happens, but there's got to be some kind of resolution. Because I saw this brother on TV trying to blame it all on COVID, talking about, well, these kids are, you know, they are missing their grandparents. Some of their grandparents have died because of COVID, and they haven't been able to be with their grandparents, and that's why they're acting out, and we just need to embrace the youth. I wanted to slap him through that television.
Yeah.
I'm like, brother, you sound kind of crazy. You cannot blame it all on that. These kids are like beyond, once you get in the teens, you've been given some kind of foundation for how to behave. So these 13, 14, 15-year-olds that are out here carjacking and acting a fool, this is not all about COVID. This is about you acting a fool because you are a fool. Don't blame it on COVID. Okay, let me stop. I'm going to
get off your soapbox. But,
I'm
going
to put my soapbox back under the table.
Okay, but I feel as if the mayor needs to show some type of presence that, you know, you can't take over the city in this way as far as shooting and bang all the time. You know, is it you trying to get rid of those people in those areas, or are you trying to stop crime or help deter it? I mean, you can't stop it completely because people are going to do what they want to do. But you need something, some type of vice or something to deter people from bringing this crap in our city. You know, enough
exactly.
is enough. You know, you don't want to
put more patrolmen on the street, particularly in Southeast where there's been like crazy shootings between Southeast, Capitol Heights, Maryland. I mean, it's like one after the other. I don't know how many police available there are, but maybe you need to pull everybody off of desk duty and put everybody out walking the beat.
No, it's that National Guard. They just need to bring a force in higher than the police force because I'm quite sure they're overworked and truly underpaid. They're going through a lot. I mean, with this George Floyd thing, they're going through a lot. So it's like you need another force other than the cops to help bring some justice or some calm or something, some kind of normalcy around here. It's just because everybody now is out buck wild because of the COVID. I mean, you know, you've been locked down for a year, so now you want to act buck wild. But I'm going to get up that soapbox too. So, all right, let's get in the next door.
I just want to say one last recommendation. For everybody who feels like they're losing their mind over COVID, before you go get a gun or get in your car and run into somebody or shoot somebody, just go outside and scream as loud as you can and let it out. Maybe that will relieve some of the pressure because I feel like everything is in like a pressure cooker. You know how a pressure cooker, when that thing is ready to blow, it's going to blow.
Yeah.
So maybe everybody needs to just collectively go outside and just scream at the top of your lungs. That's not going to hurt anybody, and no loss of life will be involved. Let's just go outside and scream. But all this killing people and stuff has got to stop. All right, I'm done. All right, who's up next? You, Papa Didi?
I guess I'm.
Yeah.
Anyway,
look,
in other news.
We're taking over Papa Didi's spot.
Yeah, see?
Okay, I
thought. I was crazy and I did all that talking. I'm just, you know. Anyway, in other news, this is politically and sports related as well. Major League Baseball is moving the All-Star game this year from Georgia because of that state passing those new restriction voting laws. And that blindsided the hell out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the All-Star game, even though with the COVID situation, you won't have the same hype that All-Star game has, but it does bring all the superstars together in one place, which is beneficial for hotels and everything and all that jazz that has to do with revenue in the city. And Major League Baseball pulled the rug from Atlanta, the Atlanta Braves baseball field. You know, they get it to a place once a year at different places, and they don't come around for another, you know, as many teams as in the league. So when you lose your spot, you lost it. But the gentleman, the what's his name, Kemp, he said that the baseball caved into liberal Democrats and all this stuff. He threw his typical spill in there, which has nothing to do with, you know, this is Major League Baseball, which is bigger than you, Kemp. You know, you're nothing but the governor.
The governor of Georgia.
Governor of Georgia, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but Major League Baseball announced Friday that this season's All-Star game and the draft, you know, they have a draft thing that they hold as well, will not be held in Atlanta in response to Georgia's recently passing laws that place new restrictions on voting. The new host city for the July 13th game has not yet been announced, so they're going to give it to somebody else. All right. Major League Commissioner, his name is Bob Manfill, said in a statement that I've decided that the best way to demonstrate our values in sports is to relocate this year's All-Star game just as a way to balance things out on what Georgia's trying to do with elections. But anyway, Georgia recently passed new voting laws leading critics to call for boycotts of companies based in the state and for sports leagues to consider moving big events. All right, chief executives of other high-ranking leaders, over 100 companies now are targeting places, including Target, Snapchat, and Uber. Issued a public statement Friday opposing any measures that deny eligible voters to the right to cast ballots. Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans, he said, and opposes restrictions in the ballot boxes. This is what the Commissioner of Baseball said. The new laws in Georgia introduces new implements in voting. It reduces the number of drop boxes in heavy African American areas. I mean, you're going to just take the damn mailboxes, really? Anyway, they said you can't give people food or drinks that are in line. You can't go up to somebody in line because it seems like you're plotting some type of crookedness in there. I mean, it's just, you know, it's all geared toward black people, which is so sad because, I don't know, you know, we're isolated on so many levels, and then people try to get with us when it comes to making money off of us and mm-hmm. things like that. I mean, I don't know. You act like black, like we're like, what's that stuff that that you give to the kids at the party? It hangs from a tree, the little piñata.
Oh.
You know, it's like we just bounced around to every situation that's convenient for people. You know, whether you want us for this, you don't want us for that. You know, you got the agents making hundreds of dollars off us, off of rolling papers and everything at the Chinese store. Before they even sell shrimp fried rice, they're making $200 a day off of
all the
paraphernalia. If you ever go into one of these Asian stores that allegedly sell Chinese food, in the front of the store, there is more paraphernalia to roll your joints or to roll your blunts or whatever it is you're trying to do, your fillies, your black and miles. And you figure, how much money do you make a day on your job? If you break down your paycheck per year, per month, per day, in most cases you make $100 a day, $150 a day. These jokers are making $250, $300 a day just on paraphernalia alone before you even buy shrimp fried rice. Ain't that crazy? Anyway, so, and that's just on that side of things as far as the using and abusing of black folks. Anyway, this gentleman, I keep calling him a gentleman. I don't know why I need to put some other name. His name is Brian Kemp. He's a Republican governor of Georgia, and he's a true Trump supporter. And anything Trump says, he just does and all, and he's just doing whatever he can to. And then Trump has it. Now, I don't know why Biden don't fire this guy that Trump hired to run the post office, the postmaster general. Now, I'm trying to figure what's up with that there. This is somebody that Trump appointed. Why doesn't Biden fire him? I mean, I understand Biden has a good ethical background, a good culture situation. He's a decent man. But this jerk off taking mailboxes out of the neighborhood, plus he's running the post office. Hell, my mail, I've been getting mail late as hell. I was getting something that came from the BWI area down there, down in Randall Mills. It took 4 or 5 days just to come 10 miles down the route. But anyway, I'm going to get off of that. But like I said, this whole situation with Major League Baseball, I think Delta's involved in it also, and, you know, Coca-Cola branch is out of Atlanta, so they're in it as well. So I think that they messed around with the wrong state when they went to do things, because there's a lot, as far as the metro line and everything. I think they got something up here called MARTA, if I'm not mistaken, their transportation line.
Yeah.
And so Atlanta has a lot of resources that could be boycotted that would really affect that state. So we'll keep an eye on that and let you know what's happening with that.
And Atlanta is really hot right now. Atlanta has become like the East Coast version of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So for them to be screwing around like this now, they about to really mess up their economic situation.
All right.
Foolishness, but anyway.
Yep.
Well, speaking of Trump lovers, let's talk about Matthew Gaetz.
Oh, yeah.
This Trump-loving son of a gun.
Bama.
This Bama. Now, this dude is from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got so much mess going on with him. You might remember him. He was the one near the beginning of the whole pandemic situation that stood on the floor of the Senate wearing this gigantic gas mask because he was making fun of the whole concept of wearing a mask to protect people from COVID-19. That's the jerk off we're talking about. So a day after Florida Republican Matt Gaetz confirmed that he was being investigated by the Justice Department over sex trafficking allegations, insiders claim that he's been bragging to colleagues about his sexual escapades for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He's even been going around showing some of his fellow lawmakers new photos mm-hmm. and videos, you nasty man, videos of people who he's been involved with sexually that he had stored on his cell phone of women that he says he had sex with. Mm-hmm. One person said that for him it was a source of pride. He was mm-hmm. proud of it. You Bama, nasty Bama.
Lying on his junk.
It's unclear if the pictures are connected to the Department of Justice investigation, but the New York Times reported on Tuesday of this week that the Justice Department has begun investigating Gates during the final months of Trump's presidency under a formal General William Barr investigation. Investigators are examining Gates' alleged sexual relationships with a 17-year-old girl, excuse me, that he reportedly paid to travel with him across state lines. Now, he knows that's illegal. That's a violation of federal sex trafficking laws. So not only
is Bama's not married?
I believe he is married now.
No, he's not married.
I thought he was married now.
No, he's allegedly engaged. But if you do the backstory on this guy, for example, all during the situation of the election thing and the lie that was being carried on, he was one of the main characters, little young guy with the
with
greasy
the hair,
the black mm-hmm. greasy hair. He cut his hair, too, since his situation. He's trying to look
a little more
adultish. But no, this guy was always the lead guy with everything. If you look at recent CPAC, when the Republicans got together, he was the main guy. He talks the loudest, yells the loudest, but he got the most undercover crap going on. You know what I mean? You really can't, you know, if you're doing some undercover mess, you really need to keep your mouth shut, because once you get exposed, you know, now your ass is out there a little worse than it would be if you was be more quiet, more discreet with your stuff. Now, he done showed his ass just like Cruz. Ted
well,
Cruz,
he,
the same
he's
way.
He's out there now. Now he's got this investigator, Joel Greenberg, who's a Florida tax collector, a Florida tax collector and Gates' ally, who was charged last year with 14 felony counts. Mm-hmm. So this guy, Joel Greenberg, is not squeaky clean either.
No, Greenberg was his partner in crime.
Yeah.
They've done all this stuff together. But
and one of the felony counts included sex trafficking of a minor. So this dude is just as dirty and trifling as Gates is. Now, it goes on to say that Gates confirmed to Axios that he's the subject, not the target, of this investigation regarding sexual contact with women. He said that the allegations against me are searing, as they are false. I believe that there are people at the Department of Justice that are trying to criminalize my sexual conduct. He says, you know, when I was a single guy. So that's what made me think maybe he was married.
No,
now, he says, I have definitely in my single days provided for women I dated. You know, I paid for flights, for hotel rooms. I've been, you know, generous as a partner. He said that he's sure none of these women were minors. So then he goes on to say that over the past several weeks, my family and I have been victims of an organized criminal extortion involving a formal Department of Justice official seeking $25 million while threatening to smear my name. We've been cooperating with federal authorities in the matter, and my father has been wearing a wire at the FBI's direction. I'm like, dude, you're doing the most. You are
sound
doing
like some espionage, Mission Impossible shit.
It does.
What
it sounds like a whole bunch of bull. I'm like, dude, you're just trying to deflect from the fact that you did take a minor over state lines, you had sex with a 17-year-old, and now your mess is on Front Street. So mm-hmm. now you coming up with all of this. Oh, they coming after my family. They trying to extort $25
million. $25
million. I'm cooperating
That's
with the FBI.
That's what got me when he made
my
that statement.
My father is wearing a wire to catch these people. I'm like, nigga, please.
Really?
Don't sit down.
It ain't
this
First of all,
man.
This guy is a He's a sophomore, been here a couple of years, a sophomore congressman, okay? He's only like, what is he, 35, 36 years old.
He's kind of young.
And, but how are you, first of all, yeah, 38. Now, how are you going to put a $25 million tag on your head when it comes to extortion? Why don't you keep it low saying they put a $5 million tag on me? Why would you say $25 million Beyonce? How much would you extort Beyonce or Jay-Z for? You're not that status, so why would you even grab that high number?
Where would you even get that kind of...
Well, just like the guy that said that he had a relapse on his diabetes and called them black girls, you know.
That's why he was calling nigga, nigga, nigga.
Yeah.
Because his sugar was low.
Sugar was low.
Oh, my God.
You know, three musketeer bar or something.
He said I would never say anything like that.
It just goes to show you that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Papa.
It just shows you excuses and alibis are always on the ready. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if you got a dope house, you got an exit plan to throw all the drugs down the chute that goes into the dumpster, and the dumpster catches on fire as soon as the drugs hit it. That way you can go ahead and make your move out of the building. You know what I mean? They always have an escape hatch at the end of the situation. So all these fantastic lines are just, you know, I mean, come on, I know.
What were you going to say, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. I was saying it's interesting. His girlfriend's name or fiance's name is Ginger Lucky.
Yeah. Ginger Lucky. Yeah.
What?
Ginger Lucky.
Ginger Lucky.
That's not a hooker or a dancer. I don't know what.
Ooh,
come on now.
No, you didn't. Interesting.
Yeah, they say your porno name is your middle name and your mother's maiden name. So I guess that's where they got that Ginger Lucky.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, Gilligan's Island. Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
So, to show you.
Let me
just ask this crazy question. So who is he supposed to be sex trafficking? He's supposed to be pulling some people from another country and bringing them here and sex trafficking? Or is it him?
No, they're saying that he carried a 17-year-old girl across state lines.
Yeah, as long as he goes over from
that's considered
D.C. to Maryland or Maryland to Jersey. They say he's going to Jersey to hook up with her. You can just, as long as you go across state lines with a minor.
Oh, they busted him. He's got receipts and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For airfare, hotels, all this stuff he's been doing.
He's a mess. And now but like I said, he cut his hair. He used to have real dark black hair, real skinny, real slim guy. And he put some mousse in his hair and all that. But the other day when he was doing a press conference, he cut his hair down to make him look a little more adultish or a little more.
Trying to look respectful.
Yeah, trying to look respectful. So
he's still
a
freak of the week, Matt.
Yeah.
Don't be trying to fool anybody. We know who you are.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a freak.
He knows who you are.
He's on the kiss it list.
Put him on the kiss it list.
All right. I got him. Okay. Well, if you guys got any questions or comments what we're talking about, hit us up tonight. 914-803-4306 and press 1
and
get in the queue. Yep.
It is.
Press 1. Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're coming back with even more on the Hit It and Quit It headlines on the Pajama Party Show. Be right back.
Hey, this is Kettle with the Yellow Top. I'm waiting to hear from you tonight. I'm at the Pajama Party Live. So you can reach us at 914-803-4306. Or you can check us out on apajamaparty.com. I've got my opinions, but I want to hear yours. Papa Didi and Red Wine are trying to beat me down, so I need you to call back and back me up. I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing. So call me now. 914-803-4306. I'm right here on WBJP Blog Talk Radio. Waiting to hear from you. Here it comes. I gotta go.
All right, welcome back to the Pajama Party. One of your hosts, Papa DJ. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling. All right. It's that time of the show where we hit them and quit them with these headlines. So I'm going to start first and talk about, here's a name we haven't heard in a long time, John Boehner. Remember him? He used to be the
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, John Boehner put a book out.
Boehner.
John Boehner. Did I call him Boehner? I'm sorry. Did I say that? John Boehner.
Okay.
Shut up, Kettle. John Boehner. Okay. Former House Speaker John Boehner did not mince words when reflecting on his congressional colleagues, particularly Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, who he called dangerous and a reckless asshole in an excerpt from his new book. He said by 2013, the Chaos Caucus in the House had built up their own power base thanks to fawning right-wing media and outrage-driven fundraising cash. He said this is in a book he wrote called On the House, a Washington Memoir. A portion of the book was published in Politico today, and now they have a new head lunatic, he wrote, leading the way, who was not even a House member. There is nothing more dangerous than a reckless asshole who thinks he's smarter than everyone else. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Senator Ted Cruz. So needless to say, he goes on to talk some more about Ted Cruz. And then at one point in the book, he added, oh, and Ted Cruz, go F yourself. So apparently he has very strong feelings about Ted Cruz. So at some point later today, Ted Cruz found out or read about Mr. Boehner's feelings about him, and he decided to get on Twitter and post a mean tweet. I don't know exactly what he said, but the article said it was a mean tweet. So I'm like, oh, wow, you were trying to hurt Mr. Boehner's feelings? Nobody cares about your little mean tweets. He called you out and said exactly who you are and what you are. Now you're mad. Go sit down. I'm putting Ted Cruz on the kiss it list. That's all I have on that.
Okay, sounds good. It's interesting. I'm not really a book reader, but I would be interested in reading that book.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's supposed to be on their side, and he was lighting up his own folks.
No, I mean, I think Ted Cruz is really showing his true colors right now. So,
yeah, okay. I think all he's right. Become real power happy. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he just got reelected, so he just got reelected,
God.
So his job is guaranteed for the next 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's showing his ass. But during election year, when he was going against that young lady,
I forgot who he ran against.
Yeah, I thought it was a
young
lady.
Oh.
Yeah, she was. No, this is.
He's from Texas.
Okay.
He's from Texas.
Stacy's in Georgia.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Interesting.
Hit him and quit him. Moving on.
This trial.
What we got here?
I think I have the next one, Papa. Derek
mm-hmm.
Chauvin. This trial is use of force was totally unnecessary. I think from all the people testifying, I think we finally get it. You know, it's been some emotional testimonies, and it's been rough. Minneapolis Police Lieutenant Richard Zimmerman, of all last names, testified Friday in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former police officer charged with murdering George Floyd, that Chauvin's use of force in that situation was, quote-unquote, totally unnecessary and uncalled for. Chauvin, you know, he's charged for second-degree and third-degree murder as well as second-degree manslaughter. I just feel as if he's going to get the lesser of the two, the manslaughter charge, but we'll see. Zimmerman, who helped secure the scene of the arrest hours after Floyd was transported to the hospital, took the stand on day 5 of witness testimony in the high-profile trial. Prosecutor Matthew Frank asked Zimmerman whether, in his more than 30 years with the Minneapolis Police Department, he had ever been trained to kneel on a person's neck while that person is handcuffed. And in the prone position when a person lies flat on his own chest. Zimmerman said no, adding that doing so would absolutely be considered a use of, quote-unquote, deadly force that could kill. He said a person can still be combative when they are handcuffed, but that the threat level against an officer will be very low. He added an officer should move a person, once handcuffed, out of the prone position as soon as possible because such positions hinders the person's ability to breathe. Wow, he said that. So on Thursday, retired Minneapolis Sergeant David Plogger, who was Chauvin's supervisor at the time of Floyd's arrest, testified that he believed the officers involved would have stopped restraining Floyd so severely once Floyd stopped resisting. So, as we have seen, video recorded by three of the officers' body-worn cameras showed them continuing to pin down Floyd for several minutes after he stopped moving. So, I think it's this testimony, this sergeant, his testimony is very powerful. And I think everybody's been testified. I mean, they have broken down and crying. I mean, I'm seeing a grown man. This man is almost 67 years old. Has broken down and cried. So, you know, if you're on this jury, you have to have some kind of sympathy. Somebody has to be accountable for what happened to this man, George Floyd. So we're going to continue to follow the case. It's interesting, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, those testimonies have been really hard, in some cases, hard to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And they keep playing the tape over and over, but it's like, you know, when are you going to, you know, see what's going on with the cops? When are you going to listen? I mean, they just, I don't know, the crazy part about it was, for me, was when Chauvin, when he had his hand in his pocket, and he was so nonchalant, and he still had his knee on his neck. He's like,
yeah,
you know. But,
yeah, it's like he was daring anybody to do something about it. You got your shades on, your hand in your pocket. You know people are recording you. And you're just going to keep on putting pressure on this man's neck, like, you know, who's going to stop me? That was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But at the end of this article, this paramedic, David Smith, he transported Floyd to the hospital after his arrest, testified that Floyd appeared to be dead when he arrived on the scene. So why are you transporting somebody that's already gone? Because it was a female that was an EMS, and she was off duty, and she came upon the scene, and she did say that she saw George Floyd had, like, urine on the pavement. That's what happens, unfortunately, you know, when a person is deceased. So those are a lot of key things that people have talked about that hopefully the jury is listening. So we're going to continue to follow the case. So, yeah.
Ooh. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. Over to you, Papa Dini.
Here's a story here to let you know how regional areas are when it comes to, even though you have all these young sisters that have scholarships at these colleges, you know, they play hell when they go from these faraway places. This involved the East Tennessee State players basketball team. They were the ones that kneeled down on the knee when they took the knee with that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the alumni and the boosters and everybody that just supports the team, you know, the college was a white college, you know.
Oh.
The only thing black in the college is the basketball team. Anyway, this has to do with the coach, East Tennessee State's men's basketball team. This person's name was Jason Shea. He announced his resignation on Tuesday, which is a surprise because he's only there for 1 year. So all the ladies were really surprised. He left because he was a good coach. He was fair. He supported them when they wanted to take a knee. And
this was the women's team?
Women's basketball team.
Oh.
Yeah, East Tennessee State. You know, they're not a district. They're not a District 1 school there. You know, but they're still in the different tournaments. They're not NCAA. They're like another district altogether, but some of the players think that there's more going on than meets the eye. And these are young girls, you know, and they peeping it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is that multiple MTSU players, which means, you know, Eastern Texas State University players, told ESPN that they believe Shay's resignation was caused by his support for us when we protested and took a knee during the national anthem, you know, before every season's game. And this upset, like I said, the boosters and the alumni, which is all white. So they one girl, her name was Truth Harris. You know, this girl's first name is Truth. Wow. She said, I personally feel that his resigning is crazy. She's a freshman point guard. She's a true freshman, so she's, what, 19 years old or so? You know, and she said she told ESPN in a telephone interview that it shows a lot of what's going on in this town, you know, and in the country as a whole, she said. You know, all this about us kneeling and then Coach Shea supporting us through all this, people should want a coach that stands behind his players instead of dissing him because he stands behind us. And then another senior guard, her name is Jordan Coffin, said in the video retweet by Shea's college-age daughter. Now, Shea, the white coach, has a college-age daughter, you know, and she said also that they got rid of my father because, you know, he has a passion for things going on. So everybody, all these ladies is behind this coach. And like I said, this is in East Tennessee. I mean, the moral of the story is that even though these young ladies get these scholarships to go to faraway places, they get dropped like a parachute right in the middle of all this racial crap. Yeah. And they could be from Philly, Maryland, Detroit, you know, Chicago, and now they find themselves in the backwoods of Tennessee. Mm. You know, so it's very interesting.
So the coach who supported them is now being forced out.
Well, he resigned. He resigns so he can get a job somewhere else. So, but they know what it's like. Yeah, they know what it's, because everybody runs it. The athletic director, the boosters, you know, the alumni, you know, everybody runs that thing but the actual people that's there presently. Especially because some of your alumni people went off and got multi-million dollar businesses and they do all this, you know, contributing to the school and all, you know, build a library and build this and build that. So it's just, so anyway, that's East Tennessee. And good luck to those sisters down there dealing with that back roads crap, you know.
Yeah, it's rough. Well, speaking of rough, I got one right here in our hometown of D.C. Two teenage girls have been charged with murder after allegedly assaulting a man with a taser and killing him during an attempted car robbery in D.C. The person who they tried to carjack was Muhammad Anwar, 66 years old. He was assaulted on Tuesday with a taser when these two teenagers attempted to carjack him. Now, there was graphic video that you could see of the video from within his, I guess it was from inside of his car, where Anwar was in a struggle with the suspects who then speed off, crash, and flip the car with him still hanging on to the side of the car. And once the authorities got to the scene and transported Anwar to the hospital, they tried various life-saving techniques, which failed, and Mr. Anwar was pronounced dead. So Anwar had been working as an Uber Eats delivery driver when these two girls attempted to carjack him. Now, listen to the ages of these girls. One girl was 13 years old, and the other one was 15. What the heck were they thinking? 13 and 15. They were charged on Wednesday with felony murder and armed carjacking with a taser. Now, this brother Anwar was from Pakistan. He's just trying to earn a living, mind his own business. So now someone set up a GoFundMe account to raise money for him to be, you know, buried properly, et cetera. So they've raised over $500,000.
Oh, yeah, he got that. That GoFundMe is almost $1 million.
Yeah, they've raised, at least as of when I pulled this article, they had raised over $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So now the mayor got in some hot water. Mayor Muriel Bowser got in some hot water because at the time when this story broke, she shared a video on preventing auto theft, and people took it like, oh, so this brother got carjacked and died, and you're going to tell people how you could have prevented that? So her office was saying that this video was already queued up to be, you know, released on that day. It was not, like, in response to the death of Mr. Anwar, but it was just, I guess she's saying it was coincidental. So even though the thing was set to release, seemed like somebody in her office would have said, hey, maybe we should hold that and drop that like maybe 2 or 3 days from now, because that's not, you know, as far as the optics of it, but they didn't. So people slammed her for that. But statistically, there's been 46 carjackings that have occurred in D.C. in the first 5 weeks of 2021.
Wow. Wow.
That is insane. 46 carjackings compared to only 8 by this time last year.
That's
something's going on. Like you said, Kel, something's going on.
Yep. Crazy.
That's all.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in the air, in the water.
I personally think that it's the adults, some in the kids, because the adults are tired of going to jail, so if they can get the kids to do the dirty work, you know, because most of these cars are going to chop shops and being cut up, you know, and why would you, you know, if you don't want to go to jail anymore, you're going to pay these old kids some money to do it, and then the kids get in there and they kind of muff it up. But, you know, for them to speak on them when they, now when these kids go to trial, if they don't throw the people that's hiring them under the bus, then it's going to be, you know.
These kids can't even try. They flipped the car, crashed it, flipped it, and the whole thing. They can't drive.
These adults ain't trying to go. I mean, that's just my assumption, but I just feel like it's an adult that are telling them to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Gonna go back to you, Kel. What else you got for us?
This April Fool's Day prank goes wrong when mom tells daughter she was shot. How crazy is this?
What?
In Wichita, Kansas, a woman was found herself in legal trouble after telling her daughter that she had been shot and prompting a call to emergency services in an apparent April Fool's Day prank. Come on now. You don't call no Amalams for that. Then you got Arthea Willis, daughter. Concerned when her 58-year-old mother called her and said she had been shot, immediately hung up the phone and made a call to police that could now open the woman up for criminal charges. The report of a possible shooting resulted in officers swarming the woman's residence. Multiple police units, probably between 15 and 20 officers from the Wichita Police Department, as well as fire department and EMS responded to the scene. Officers broke down the door with weapons drawn but found no one at the residence. Through further investigation, we learned that this was an April Fool's joke played on the daughter by the mother. Willis was arrested on suspicion of an unlawful request for emergency service assistance. That's a lot of people involved in emergency service. And that's money. So, yeah.
Why would you even do that? That's not funny.
I don't get people. Yeah.
That's just, why would you call your daughter and say, oh, my gosh, I've been shot, click, and hang up the phone and have your daughter stressed out calling for help for you only to be like, oh, April Fool. Well, now who's the fool? I'm putting her on the kissing list, Miss Willis.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Willis.
Yeah. All right, Papa Didi, you got the last hit and quit it. What you got?
All right, the last one here is another case of, people dying in the custody of people. This kind of reminds me of Sandra Bland. This happened in Texas. But 7 Texas officers have been fired in the death of a 26-year-old Marvin Scott. It's his name. The probe is underway into the custody death of the man with mental issues. He was being held on a misdemeanor marijuana possession.
Mm.
Now, you holding him on a misdemeanor marijuana possession in Texas, and a few states over in Colorado, they just smoking weed walking down the street. That's just crazy. Anyway, 7 sheriff officers in Collin County, Texas, were linked to a black man's death in the custody last month, where they were fired Thursday. An 8th officer resigned. Like I said, you resign so you can get rehired somewhere. Marvin D. Scott, the 3rd. He was 26 years old. He died after being restrained while being held on a misdemeanor marijuana possession charge on March 14th. Okay, the police alleged that Scott was acting erratically, and he was taken to the hospital by Allen police officers. Later to their headquarters, then Collin County Jail, where he was restrained and pepper sprayed, according to reporters. Okay, they say a spit hood was placed over his head, and he was later found dead.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know. That's the second time I've seen this spit hood thing, whatever that's about.
Yeah, I remember anyway. The one where the man was naked out on the street.
Yeah, but I don't
And they put the hood on him, and then he ended up somehow dead.
Yeah, well, it suffocates the ass, I guess. Evidence I see seems to confirm that their detention officers violated well-established sheriff's office policies and procedures. Sheriff Jim Skinner said in a statement, since his death, members of Scott's family had gathered outside the Collin County Sheriff's Office. We want to know, how did their son die? We want answers, said Marvin's mother. Her name is Lasandra Scott, during a news conference. The family has hired civil rights attorney Lee Merritt, who contacted a forensic pathologist to conduct an independent autopsy on his body. Amy Garski was conducting a second autopsy on Scott, told NBC5 that the investigation history was not available at the time, and it's going to take a few weeks to get the toxicology report and other things back to figure out how he died exactly. And they're saying a possible asphyxiation and suffocating and all that jazz. So,
man, they know how he died.
Another case of
those cops killed him with that hood. Man couldn't breathe.
Well, like I said, it's well, at least, you know, the medical examiner was a lot more open as opposed to the medical examiner in the case of Sandra Bland,
mm-hmm.
where the medical examiner was in on it with that cop, because you can't get away with murder unless you had a medical examiner go down with you, and this is what happened
That's
with Sandra
true.
Bland. And, you know, it was just...
You got to get him to co-sign the bull.
Yeah, and...
Okay. Because
the dead bodies, they talk just as well as the live body does.
Oof. And this was where? In Texas?
Yeah, Texas as usual. You know, we...
Down there with Ted Cruz.
Yeah, they say it's just one more dead Negro.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell, they don't care.
You know what? On that note, we need a cocktail.
Wow.
Kettle?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Mm. Can you hook us up?
Some sick people in this world, John Terry.
It really is.
Well, it's April, for second day in April, so we have one called April Showers. We're dealing with gin this time. 3 ounces of gin, your favorite gin, which is mine, is the Bombay Sapphire, or whichever you prefer. Tanqueray gin is pretty good. So 3 ounces of gin. 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice. It has to be fresh. I want that canned stuff or whatever, the squeeze kind. 1.5 teaspoons of agave nectar. 6 ounces of ruby red grapefruit juice. Also elderberry flowers for garnish. It's optional if you want that. You don't have to put flowers on if you don't want. To fill a cocktail shaker with ice, add the gin, lemon juice, agave nectar, and grapefruit juice. Shake vigorously for 10 seconds. You got to shake like you're a cocktail waitress or a bartender. Pour into a coupe or martini glass and garnish with the elderberry flowers. It's optional if you want that. So, as they say, April showers bring May flowers. So I guess we're going to have a May drink in May. But this is called the April Showers Cocktail. And that's the cocktail of the week.
All right. And the cocktail of the week is brought to you by DC Homegrown Entertainment. Mwah! Love you guys. All right. Let's see. We got What's Poppin' with Papa Didi up next. Are we going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with Papa Didi? All right. We'll do that. And we've got Papa Didi standing by on the other side of the break. Be right back.
Bonsoir, bonsoir. This is red wine, or as they say in Paris, Je suis Vin Rouge. Join me every Friday right here on A Pajama Party, where I'll get on my rant, sit on my little bar stool, and give you my opinion on whatever has been bugging me or whatever's on my mind this week. You don't want to miss it. I know I won't. So be here with me every Friday, red wine, on The Pajama Party Show. Visit us on www.apajamaparty.com and check us out. We'll see you there.
All right, welcome back to The Pajama Party. I'm your host, Papa D. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
Yo. Yeah, she threw a little 15-second commercial out there.
It was a quickie.
Caught me off guard.
Sometimes a quickie is all you can get. Anyway, it's time for Papa Didi and What's Poppin'. So, Papa Didi, what you say? What's poppin'?
You know, there's so much to talk about. You don't even know where to begin anymore.
True.
Wow. I was going to talk about some local stuff, but then I heard a story earlier about, you know, Getz and Ted Cruz and, you know, Trump and all that, you know, it just leads me to talk about, you know, white privilege, you know. I don't think that people understand when you say white privilege. I really don't think people understand what that means exactly, okay? You know, I'm just going to break it down for a minute to let you know where all this came from. This mostly came from 1944-45 when the war was over. You know, the war, World War II was over in 1944. And when it came to the GI Bill that was issued to every person who was in the war, you know, Uncle Sam just gave everybody, black, white, or indifferent, a GI Bill, you know, which allowed them to have the ability to buy a house. But when they got back to the motherland, the restrictions of racism was just vicious, because now everybody wanted the best they can get with this GI Bill, because the GI Bill gets you in the door. But when you're not allowed to go, to take residence in that neighborhood, you have to occupy some other space. And thank goodness they all got along back then, because you couldn't do that nowadays, because you couldn't even force a bunch of people in an area that they didn't want to be in with somebody else. But people like I spoke on before, William Levitt and different people that had ownership of different properties and all, of flatlands. These weren't even, they even built a foundation or a basement. These were flatlands. Anybody that has what's called a Levitt house don't have no damn basement, okay? Because William Levitt wasn't digging in the ground. They were just digging stuff right from the foundation up. But anyway, make a long story short, if you look at all these neighborhoods now that are the so-called suburban neighborhood. That's how they were developed, because white folks were allowed to move out there and black folks had to resolve to the city. Okay, but back then the city was not a place where people wanted to live. They wanted to go out to the suburbs where the houses was new and everything was clean, everything was fine. You know, I spoke on this before. But here's the deal though. This has all begun. Now, 30, 40, 50 years later, the children of the parents that was in World War II are still out in the suburbs. And now they're acting like the suburbs belong to them. You know, you go out to different areas, what do you call different suburban areas around here? In the DMV area, Chevy Chase.
Annapolis,
Chevy Chase, places like, you know, that are bona fide areas that white folks, it's not really suburban, it's just where white folks been for a long-ass time. Okay, now their children are there and their grandchildren are there, and most of the houses are paid for. And these houses are beachfront houses. These are houses that lead down to a where you can put your boat in the water at. They got all these different luxuries that they were just raised on and having. I mean, you can't even fault the children, because it was all the grandfather and the father. Now when it trickle down to the children are 50 years old. Now, the children are just taking advantage of a situation. But now, let's jump back to the politics now. Let's jump into, like we said, Ted Cruz and Getz and all these other white folks that had it all their life. Now, these are the same white people that had that advantage that I just talked about. Now, they just got, now they go into politics, and the NRA throws $10 million in the bank for them, cash money, okay, and every other political lobbyist that wants to support something they want to support. That's why when the gun situation happens, ain't nobody making no noise. Now, the girl that walked around, two congresswomen, white women, Republicans, that was wearing the belt on their hip in the Capitol, yeah, they walk around with a gun. Yeah, I got my gun, got my gun. But then when they killed, you know, the 10 people 1 week, eight people one week, you don't hear nothing from her. Because now that gun ain't so popular. But she can't change the laws because the NRA done already gave her $5 million so they can be on her side. That's what they do. They deposit that money in your account and say, look, you're not going to do anything to stop us from what we're doing. And that's what they do. You know, they just sign their life away on that. But getting back, like I said, to the politicians, these guys have been making money their whole life the old-fashioned way, which means stealing it. Cheating it. If you saw the Eddie Murphy, Distinguished Gentleman, that movie where he said, we're in the wrong business. We're going to go somewhere where the streets are paved with gold. And he was talking about Washington, D.C. If you're wondering how or why or what the situation is on making money in D.C., get that movie, Distinguished Gentleman, by Eddie Murphy. And it will blow your mind how the politics is with that. And it's just, it's so real. That movie is so close to the truth of politics. But the whole thing in a nutshell is that all these politicians that are showing their ass now, they don't have no choice but to show their ass because they've been spoiled since birth. Spoiled since birth. Donald Trump Jr. Spoiled since, this man ain't got a job in a pie factory. But he walk around with his beard like he's Mr. Look So Good. Ain't never working nowhere. They jockeying women and doing this and doing that. You know, they're a mess. And God don't like ugly, so this is all short-lived stuff. This stuff ain't going to last forever. You know, because God don't like ugly, and this ain't going to last at all. Believe me, everything runs out, you know. Everything goes sour after a while. No matter how much you think you're grooving with it, after a while, it all comes to an end. So we're going to just watch these people, and hopefully we can outlive them so we can see their demise before they see ours. So I'm going to leave it at that.
There it is.
Right.
I would like to see that dude go down the tube.
Yeah, he may very well.
He's pushing lies for a long time.
Which one?
Trump Jr.
Oh, please. Trump Jr.
He is the biggest co-signer that I think I have ever seen.
Mess. He ain't got jobs address. He ain't never worked nowhere in his life.
Woo! Yep. All right, we're going to lighten it up.
All right. Lighten it up. Oh, we're going to the weird news. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I got
the
first
one. Red
one.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I got one about this haunted house. Well, not haunted house. This is out of Boston. A Massachusetts woman noticed something strange about the for sale sign outside of a home in her neighborhood. On top of the sign with the name of the broker and the contact information was another sign with the words not haunted in big red letters. This just went up around the corner, and I have so many questions, said Margot Bloomstein, that she wrote in a tweet where she included a picture of the sign in the Boston Globe on Thursday. The house is west of Boston, but Bloomstein did not want to say exactly where to respect the homeowner's privacy. But she did reach out to the real estate agency to learn more about the sign. They said they didn't know anything about it. So when they put the sign out, it just said for sale. Somehow somebody came out and put another sign on top that said not haunted. You know, so the sign said house for sale. They put a sign on top that said not haunted, so it read not haunted house for sale. So they went on to say that the consensus is that the sign is a prank, maybe played by a ghost with a sense of humor. So they don't know who put that not haunted on top of the for sale sign, but I don't know. So I don't know. That's why it's the weird news. What can I say?
and where was that?
This was in Boston.
Okay. All right. All the way from Boston to Anchorage, Alaska. I have one here. Ravens accused of stealing groceries from Alaska Costco's customer. Some Alaska Costco shoppers said they've had their groceries stolen by Ravens in the store parking lot. Matt Llewellyn said he was packing his groceries into his car in the parking lot of Anchorage Costco's when Ravens swooped in to steal a short rib from his cart. Okay. He goes on to say, I literally took 10 steps away and turned around. Two Ravens came down and instantly grabbed one of the packages, ripped it off, and flew off with it. Llewellyn said the piece of meat was about 4 by 7 inches large, sizable meat for a sizable bird. They know what they're doing. It's not their first time, he says. They're very fast, so I think they got the whole system there. So once he got back home, he noticed that one of the Ravens had taken a poke at another rib but did not rob it. He said, I cut that meat out and started marinating it, but my wife said, that's gross. We should take it back. Costco's actually took it back, and even after we had started marinating them and gave us a full refund. So that was pretty good. Wow.
Oh, okay.
That was good. Josie goes on to say, one would sit on the car squawking and staring at me while the other one tried to grab the netting from the melons in the car. They were very determined and worked as a team.
Wow.
They were on a dedicated mission. So this was another person in Costco, Tamara Josie. She had some melons. I guess they wanted to get those melons. Yeah, but they need to eat.
These birds are working together, trying to get food out of people's grocery carts.
Hey, they got to eat.
Yeah, but they don't have to eat the groceries that people just paid for. But anyway.
Well, I guess they're smelling food, so they got to eat. Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I put those Ravens on the kissing list? That ain't
right. Go right in here. Uh-huh.
Okay. Ravens in Alaska. Okay. What you got for us, Papa Diddy?
This happened in Chicago. Chicago porch pirates was busted. This is people that usually think that people are porch pirates or people steal stuff off your porch, packages and stuff. This happened in Chicago. It turns out that the porch pirates were not human people at all. This was a Chicago family in the summertime at night. They were sitting across the street from a house in the brink of the summer out there chilling on the porch. When they noticed that Amazon had dropped off a package across the street. And no more than 10 minutes after the package was delivered, small packets, a squirrel came along and put his hoofs in it, and bit on it, and took it up to the roof. Okay. So the family across the street, the lady recorded when she saw the squirrel sniffing around the package. Next thing you know, the squirrel had the package in his mouth and in his hands, and he was climbing up the side of the downspout going up on the roof. And when they came in, they told the owners across the street that a squirrel had done that, and they go up on their roof, you know, the following day, and they found all these packages between the end of the house and the chimney. They had called the police about packages being stolen, but come to find out the squirrel had took like 6 packages up on the roof.
That's crazy.
So
the squirrel was the porch pirate?
Porch pirate.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everything, just like on the last story where, you sit on the beach with the seagulls, man, they'll clean you out. Seagulls.
Yeah, they will come after you.
Seagulls will clean
you out.
That's
the worst thing you can do on the beach is eat food.
Oh, please. I remember back when I was in the military in Virginia Beach. I think I had some Kentucky Fried Chicken or something. This is before I even knew. I had just got there, as a new sailor. And, man, I got a lesson on seagulls that day. Them jokes, seagulls will clean you out. You pull out a sandwich, peanuts, you name it. Them jokers, they're vicious, and they don't care either. Seagulls are vicious.
Yeah, they'll fight you for your food.
Yeah, that's a vicious thing. I don't mess with them. I'll mess with a pigeon if I'm messing with a damn seagull.
They're kind of big. All right, well, that wraps up the weird news. Let's see, we got a break coming up, and then we've got, I'm just saying, with a red wine on the other side of the break. We'll be right back with I'm Just Saying.
Living just enough, just enough for this to take.
Okay, but why are we doing Stevie Wonder? I thought we were doing pajama
party. Well, I was talking about one of my segments of the titties.
Join the party.
Now you ride me.
That's every Friday night at 9. Pajama
party.
No
clothes allowed. Kettle and Red Wine, step on my parade. I had the mic first. And they're coming in just trying to,
It's my turn.
Call us at
914-803-4306.
And press 1 to be put into the queue. And say what you have to say. You can read off what we're talking about. Come up with a new subject of your own. We're free. We're liberal. We're easy.
It's the same.
Each and time we're here, 9 p.m. Friday nights at 6 o'clock West Coast, and maybe 7 o'clock in the mountains or in the
7 in the mountains around
Michigan, 8 Central. Michigan and New Orleans and all that. We're like an hour back,
yeah,
but 9 o'clock on the East Coast.
9:15
CP time. CP
time,
9:15.
Don't be late when you listen to us.
It's
9 o'clock on the dot.
That's right. Every Friday night.
We'll see you there.
Goodbye.
You're in the right place at the right time. It's the Pajama Party. www.apajamaparty.com. Produced by DC Homegrown Entertainment. Don't just sit there yelling at the air. You got an opinion? We want to hear it too. Dial 914-803-4306. That's 914-803-4306. Don't let us have all the fun by ourselves. We've got room for you at the pajama party. And remember, it's PJs only. No clothes allowed. Operators are standing by. Well, they're lounging on pillows, but they're waiting for your calls. So call us now. 914-803-4306. Now back to the crew and more of the pajama party. Oh, you want to throw pillows?
All right, welcome back to the pajama party. I'm your host, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
All right, I'm going to turn it over to Red Wine for her segment of I'm Just Saying. So take it away.
Oh, I was just thinking about something Bootsy Collins used to say. Oh, what a difference a day makes, Bubba. I don't know why, but it just came to me. Anyway, tonight my topic is, why are we so disrespected? And when I say we, I mean we as black folks. Why are we so disrespected? I don't understand this, so I just want to talk about that. Just for a moment or two, if somebody can cue up my background music, I would appreciate that. But, I noticed that when I was watching the news, or any time that I'm watching the news, those video clips that you see of traumatic and violent situations involving black people, they put them on a video loop. And if you don't know what a loop is, that's when they show the clip. It's usually a short clip. And they just keep showing it over and over. You know, it's a few seconds, and then they start it over again. And then it plays, and then it starts over again. And it just keeps going and going and going. And I'm like, golly, if somebody got shot, stabbed, smacked, whatever, do we really need to see that? on a video loop? I'm trying to understand. Like, I just feel so disrespected as a black person every time I see this kind of stuff on the news. I just feel like, you know, do we really need that image? If you're going to report an event, then just report the event. But I don't think we need to see this stuff in a loop like that. It's like you're making us all relive or live if you weren't involved in it. You're making us live the situation and then relive it. It's ridiculous. It's like you're trying to traumatize not just us, but everybody who's watching it. I don't understand, like, what is the payoff in that? What's the benefit? Is this like an entertainment kind of thing? Are people getting off on this kind of stuff? I just don't understand. Like, what is that about? And this is stuff that, you know, you see the media do. This is the kind of stuff that when you watch the news, for example, when you see a black man killed by the police, they give you that little crazy warning. Okay, well, let me warn you. This is going to be graphic. This may be hard to watch. This may be distressing. Well, then how about you don't show the bullcrap? We don't have to see the visual on the news in order to understand that yet another black person has been injured, maimed, killed, whatever the case. We don't need to see it. People are trying to, you know, have dinner, do whatever, you know, at home. And then you see this stuff, and not only do you see it, but they put it on a freaking loop. I don't understand this thing. How come you don't see white people being beat down, smacked down, abused, killed on a loop? How come we don't see that? Why is it always black folk got to be repeatedly abused on a loop on the news? I feel very singled out, and I feel very disrespected. I'm just saying, why do we as a people have to be so disrespected? How many times do we have to be tormented by watching this stuff, brothers and sisters on a loop, be tormented and abused? And like I said, that's the media doing that. That's not necessary. You know, we aren't comprehensionally challenged. If you say a black man or a black woman was shot in the back by the police today, okay, we understand. We really don't need the visual. And we definitely don't need the visual on a freaking loop over and over and over, back to back. What is that about? It's like y'all are getting some kind of, y'all being the people who produce this stuff, it's like they're getting some kind of entertainment value out of it. You know, this takes me back to when white people used to get all dressed up and pack a picnic basket to go watch a black man hung from a tree. That's some sick stuff. And I feel like these loops of violence against black people is just as bad. You don't need to see that stuff. Sometimes that just helps to further desensitize people to this stuff. Maybe that's the problem with all of these shootings and stuff going on. Maybe people feel like, oh, this is just like, what's that video game? Grand Theft Auto. This is just like Grand Theft Auto. You just go down the street, pop, 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 bang, 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 just like the game. But this is not a game. People don't just get up and hit restart. When you shoot somebody for real, they're dead, for real. You don't get extra lives like a video game. But this stuff of putting black folks on this loop on the news, it needs to stop. I feel like it's just rude, it's irresponsible, it's disrespectful, and it really needs to stop. So that's all I'm saying. This is Red Wine, and I'm just saying that we as a people come from kings and queens. We are royal, and we should be treated as such. We shouldn't be treated like garbage that you can just discard and get entertainment from our misery. Our misery is not for your damn entertainment. This looping stuff of our misery just needs to stop. That's all I'm saying. I'm done. I know I'm tired of.
All right, that was a good one, Red Wine. Okay.
I'm gonna get off my soapbox.
Uh oh. So you're just tired of it.
I'm trying to get off my soapbox, but I'm just tired of it.
I agree.
And let me wait. I'm not putting my soapbox away yet. When I saw the situation of a car, it was two women in a car that drove into a Taco Bell. Now, at first, I thought
in Waldorf, Maryland.
At first, I thought that these were all black people out there. But then when I looked at that video again closer, there were looked like a few black people out there, but the person who looked like the employee was a white female. So apparently, when I read the story further, the women in the car had gone through the drive-thru, gotten into an altercation. One of them got out of the car and apparently either hit or tried to hit the woman through the drive-thru window in this altercation, then went around to the front of the store. The woman then came out of the Taco Bell, the employee. So now there's a little crowd of people out front of Taco Bell. So they were out there yelling at the two women that were in the car. The woman hit the gas and stopped as if to say, I will run over you all. And I guess, you know, they continued yelling and saying different things. And then the driver just hit the gas and drove right into these people. And these people were flying in the air like human bowling pins. And when I saw it on the news, this thing was looped like a dozen times.
A dozen times.
And I'm not exaggerating. I stopped counting after like 12 of how many times do you need to loop this? This isn't funny, and it's not entertaining. That crap needs to stop. Because for some people, they look at that and go, oh, man, that was whack. I'm going to go do that. Sometimes you encourage people when you show them this stuff. That's why you need to stop it. Now I'm done. All right. Over to you, Papa D.
Okay.
How you doing? How you doing?
Ooh, boy. Yeah, I was serious. That was a good
remember
one.
Remember Eddie Murphy as Rasputia? How you doing?
You know what? That is a very that is a very serious subject that you're speaking on, and I've noticed that for years. I remember in the news a few years back in the D.C. area, this black gentleman, he went up on this white lady's news scene. She was on the waterfront interviewing a restaurant owner or something like that. And the black guy was pissed off that he wasn't getting the stories that she was getting. And come to find out that the reporter that he killed, her cameraman was also killed. They both were killed. The reporter and the cameraman. The cameraman was actually her boyfriend. And they were both white interviewing this white lady on the dock there. He ended up killing himself afterwards. But anyway, they didn't show this story at all. Because this girl actually worked for the network and her boyfriend, who was the cameraman for the network, but they showed the black man and, you know, him and obviously showed who he was. He was an employee also for the network. He went up there to the waterfront and killed a reporter and killed her boyfriend because they had a little nepotism going on. He wasn't getting the real stories he wanted to get and all that. But you're very right on that. And it just goes back to, you know, black folks have been a disposable product for years. I mean, we're worse than toilet paper with shit on it. You know, all it can do is go in the toilet. You'd be surprised how we're perceived because people think we're going to fall for anything. And that's what's been passed down to them for years. I mean, you know, the biggest thing that will embed in your head is what you was learned, what you was taught as a child. You know, whatever you was taught as a child is going to be a mainstay for you, whether it's to say please and thank you and no thank you and holding the door for somebody. You know, lessons of racism and lessons of disrespect for a group of people comes at the same cost, comes at the same, you know, it's building you as your mind is you know, your claymation, where people are molding you to what they want you to be. And then white folks has always generated, you know, and they always told their kids to watch out for black people, watch out for black people. That's been the number one teaching all over the world, not just in neighborhoods. Chinese people, Asians, they come here and we're the, you know, we're at the brink of everything. We're the people, their grandparents told them years and years ago, watch out for black. Never had a reason on why to watch out for black people, just watch out for black people. And it was a time in the stores where, you know, we were supposed to have been the one that's doing all the stealing. But we weren't doing the stealing. Why wouldn't white folks come in and steal if black folks are going to be accused of it? Hell, if I was white, I couldn't wait till the kids got home from school and went into Rite Aid. And, like, they found out a few older senior citizens and all white women was in there stealing their ass off. And they were charging little 7th and 8th grade kids. For the white folks that was in there stealing stuff. And then Trump came along and just exposed all white ignorance, every drop of it at its best, at its absolute best. He blew the dog whistle loud and clear. And the most ignorant, trifling-ass white folks were exposed on who they really are, who they always been. They know what they always been. But black folks, we were taught to be so kind in our life. We were taught to be so courteous, such mannerism. Our old school mothers, our old school fathers, our grandmothers, our grandfathers taught us to be neat. Don't touch this. Don't do that. Behave yourself, yada, 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 yada. But white folks were taught to treat people like shit, and that's all they've ever done. That's why it amazes us when we look and see them act a damn fool when all we was taught to do was be nice and kind. But we were always projected as being the one that stole your pocketbook, stole your wallet, did you this. Every time something happened, oh, probably some black guy did it. Oh, probably some black guy did it. You know, it's always been the case. You know, just like today in the Capitol, you know, it was a black gentleman that killed that officer, you know. But what happened to him? He ended up dead, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But what about the 8 people that was killed in the... What was that?
South Carolina.
Well, that too, but that's another one. But the recent one with the spies and everything, and that was in Georgia, right? That was in Atlanta area. That guy walked away, you know, he's going to trial. And even if 10 people just killed in the supermarket, that guy walked away. But if a black guy does something, chances are his ass is going to be dead, which he is. I mean, I'm not even speaking on that situation because it's fresh and it's horrible on all fronts. But, you know, we just, we're meant to be, you know, just disrespected, man. That's what was imposed on us. That's why we got to not paint on the rabbit ass mind. And I'm going to wind down on this to give you the moral of the story. We got to stop chumming up so much. We got to stop patronizing. Because they'll throw some fake-me-out shit on you. I saw a lady on the train one time, this white woman on there. She was just using these older black women like crazy. You know, oh, I didn't bring my money. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll buy you something. They always used us to patronize them. They could have a pocket full of money and say to us, well, I don't want anything. Well, you can bring me back a tea. And black folks will say, well, I'll bring you back a tea and a donut. You know what I mean? We do that because that's how we was raised. But if somebody has been using us since their damn birth, then they'll say, I tell you, well, bring back a sandwich too. Here, let me get the money. And then black folks say, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. We keep patronizing them over and over again. Stop that shit. Make them pay for their own shit. You know what I mean? No disrespect. I'm not trying to talk radical. I'm just saying, yo, be the poor-ass Negro that they think you are. Stop perpetrating. Stop thinking that I got to prove myself to them. You ain't got to prove nothing to nobody but God Almighty. It's the only person you got to prove something to.
Well.
So don't, you know, stop doing that. Stop being so righteously righteous and dealing with these devils. Come on now. That's all I got to say on that.
Ooh. Papa Didi coming through.
Yeah. On that soapbox.
Woo, you got to get it in.
Stop being so nice. Uh-oh. I don't want to be vigilante, but you got a good point.
Well,
yeah.
Will there be one?
Oh, boy. Yeah. There's some deep stuff tonight. Mm.
Well, that's what we do.
Tonight. That's what we do. Okay.
That's what we do.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You
guys
want to
take a little CC? Yeah.
All right.
I need to regroup. I need to regroup. That was a good one. You had a good one too, Red Wine. That was regroup from both of them.
All right. We're good. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we're coming back with Kettle and the Hollywood wrap-up so you can get your entertainment update on the Pajama Party Show. Don't move.
This is Beyonce.
No!
It's Friday night, so run and tell somebody that the Pajama Party is on right now, right here on WPJP Blog Talk Radio. Oh, yeah, this is how we do it. Call 914-803-4306 and press 1 to get in on the conversation, or you can join us online at www.apajamaparty.com and click the Listen Live banner. So if you want to give a shout-out, wish a happy birthday, hear yourself on the radio, or get your 15 seconds of fame, you need to call us right now on 914-803-4306 and press 1. How often do you get a chance like this? Hey, we're only on till 10 p.m. Eastern, so get on the phone and call us right now. We're waiting to make you famous, even if it is just for tonight. Don't be shy. Call 914-803-4306 and press 1. I'm going to stop by the bar, but I'll meet you back at the show.
All right, welcome back to a John Party. One of those Papa DD. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
Woo! All right. Now, ready? Buckle up.
Give Kettle her intro. All right. It's time for Kettle with the Hollywood wrap-up. Entertainment news. All right.
Take it away.
All right. I got quite a bit on the Voice. 20th season, mega mentor Snoop Dogg joins the Voice. As we know, he's a rapper, entrepreneur. Yeah, he's a entrepreneur, everything. He's doing it all, on commercials, everything. They're going to have... I think Usher, Taylor Swift, James Taylor, those were some ones that were on there before, but Snoop Dogg, he joins that category. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, yeah, he got a lot of talent to give, a lot of advice to give, so I'm excited. I'm a Voice person.
I would love to hear the advice he gives these singers. This will be interesting.
You know, he's going to be cool and laid back as usual. You know, that's the man it is. Also, Ariana Grande, she's gonna join The Voice. Also, she's gonna replace Nick Jonas. So that's gonna be interesting for the next season. So, I guess he wants to go out there and get his tour on. So you know,
hell yeah,
it's gonna be something different. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're gonna have a younger audience with Ariana Grande. So. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, her advice and things she say and, you know. Also, like I said, I'm still on The Voice. Reports of Kelly Clarkson. She's considering leaving The Voice over Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani's ties to her ex-husband. You know, her ex-husband, he is manager to both of them. So it's like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like Kelly is kind of stuck in the middle. So, you know, her bittersweet divorce, you know, is unfortunate. But, you know, the hubby, he's trying to come after some more money also. He wants to get, quote-unquote, child support. I'm like, are you serious? But the children stay with her. How the hell you want child support? But it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, she has some things to fall back on. So, I mean, you know, maybe she's going to take a break and come back. But I would like to see her come back, though. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm quite sure you've heard the big controversy about Nike. Nike gets a temporary restraining order against MSCHF to halt the sale of Little Nas's quote-unquote Satan shoes. I'm like, are you serious?
Did you say Satan shoes?
Satan shoes, yep. The Satan shoes is made in collaboration with rapper Little Nas X. Yep. He has a new video called Montreal. Call Me By My Name. Some satanic shit going on. I'm like, the shoe is tied to the video. I mean, if you into that, check it out. If you're not, I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away. But I just look at Little Nas as a modern-day Kanye West. But he collaborated with a company that takes old shoes and they revamp them. So they revamped this particular Nike shoe that wasn't in circulation and created this shoe. And, you know, they have Luke 10:18 on the shoe and just different satanic things that are associated with the shoe. But so it's going to be interesting to see this, you know, see what happens with that. But these shoes were like $1,000 and they sold out within about 5 or 10 minutes. I'm like, are you serious? Why?
See, that's what's wrong with the world. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Also in the news is Drake. Drake Toronto's home was broken into by a knife-wielding woman. These people are crazy. A knife-wielding woman has been arrested after she allegedly stormed Drake's $100 million Toronto mansion and attacked the security guard. Now, he has the security there, but you're going to attack the man and try to get access to his home. Oh, boy. What is wrong with people? I just don't understand. Why? She was 17 years old. Someone said that she is a crazy 17-year-old mental white girl that got beef with Drake. The whole city of Toronto knows her, and she thinks she's... What? The whole city of Toronto knows her, and she thinks she's black? She's the only white girl in the city that uses the N-word and is always on Instagram. Okay, that answers that question.
Okay.
As you know, yesterday was April Fool's Day, and some people were doing some crazy pranks. We did mention a few. Tori Spelling, Aaron Spelling's daughter, you know, she already has 5 kids. She puts on Instagram that she's about to have her 6th child. I don't know, her stomach is puffy. It looks like she's pregnant, but... She's like April Fool's. I'm like, you don't have anything else to do, Tori Spelling, besides
really.
That on Instagram. I'm
Nobody
like, okay.
cares, Tori.
Right. She already has 5 kids. So why you want to say? And
get her
last but not least, Bridgerton's reggae Jean Page will not return for the 2nd season.
What?
He will not return. He said there's a beginning, middle, and end. So what's going to happen is they're going to concentrate more on the Bridgerton family and the siblings and what happens with them. So who knows? He may come back, but
for
right now, he won't be
back.
We
want to see him.
But if you read
we want
books,
Ray
Bridgerton,
J.
Apparently he was
black.
Not in those books. So
I'm
I guess
not
they're following, they're
know,
following the bookmark. But that's my Hollywood wrap up. You guys want to go ahead and fuss? Go fuss over here.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Kettle. At least now we're up to date. I'm not happy, but I'm up to date.
All right.
We need Ray J. Come on, Ray J.
They tired of him running up on the white women and get that brother a break. I said, nah, man.
That ain't right. That's just not right. All right, Papa Didi.
So the kisser list is a list of people that showed their butt hiney. And we're gonna compile a list together. We got this guy, what's his name? Gates?
Matthew Gates.
Gates. Mm-hmm.
The Florida pervert chasing 17-year-olds across the state line.
Mm-hmm. And made his name for himself fronting the game with Donald Trump. See, Donald Trump done put everybody in the trick bag. He walk away up in Florida somewhere chilling. You ain't gonna hear nothing from Trump. Trump can isolate himself with the quickness. He don't care. He's evil as hell. Like he did when the Capitol's being attacked.
It is.
He went right into hiding. Anyway, Ted Cruz, of course, he stays on there.
We got Governor Kemp from Georgia, the governor of Georgia, for signing that change in the voting laws, trying to isolate or ice out voters of color. We see you. We know what you're doing. You ain't slick.
I like to put also the city council of Glen Arden, Maryland. They built these new little complexes in there. I was riding through that area one day last week, and they built these new complexes. It looked really nice. I thought they were building some low-income housing for the area because the area is kind of low-income anyway. And come to, I see these big signs out there saying, now leasing. Which means they're not even selling the stuff. They're renting them. So why the hell would you build all this beautiful housing in the middle of the hood and you just want to rent it out? That must be some spillover shit from D.C. Anyway, so we'll put the city council of Glen Arden on the books for not allowing black folks in Glen Arden, Maryland, the opportunity to buy affordable housing. They're going to rent it to them like it's a damn apartment. Them people need somewhere to live permanently, not your damn year lease. Anyway, let's move on.
We got Derek Chauvin. I don't care what the outcome is from this trial. Derek Chauvin will be eternally on the kiss it list for the murder, cold-blooded murder of George Floyd.
Yeah, and I think George Floyd's girlfriend was kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit, too. I think they rope-a-dope her. It sounded like she was kind of getting paid by the damn defense attorney. I don't even want to speak on
that. Yeah, that testimony
was
weird.
Her testimony was weird, talking about her drug addiction. I want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
That's in their face.
We were both doing that.
Yeah, you're still strung out. I guess you got your hair done for the trial. Anyway.
We got Miss Willis. That's the lady who did the April Fools and called her daughter and said she'd been shot. Put her on a kissing list because that was just stupid.
Yeah.
I got those Ravens over in Alaska. Was that Anchorage, Alaska? That's been stealing people's groceries at the Costco parking lot.
And don't forget the squirrels that were stealing people's...
The squirrels in Chicago, or was, the squirrel.
The squirrel that was stealing Amazon
Chicago.
Packages.
The porch pirate squirrel in Chicago. Shame on
you. Now they can stop laying on the Negroes anyway.
And all the media that keeps on showing black suffering on a loop.
Did we say Kemp of Georgia for changing all those laws?
Yeah, but you can say him again.
Yeah, Governor Kemp for changing all the laws in Georgia, saying you can't take water and food to somebody that's standing in line.
Yeah.
What the hell? What
you make
what
the
year,
voting take 8 hours
you think,
to vote,
but what do
but
you
you
think
can't
we
bring
are?
People water.
But like I said, they're putting out laws that their grandpapa put out on black people. And how are they allowed to do this shit 40 years later? That's what's blowing my mind. And it just goes right through the council and everybody in the whole chamber. And now the young lady trying to send the young lady to jail for knocking on the door. The lady that was knocking on the door when he was signing this stuff.
Yeah.
They got her. They arrested her now. She's going to be standing trial.
She just wanted to be in the room to see the signing of this bull that they were doing.
But how many people?
They're going to try to lock
her up. They ain't sent one person to trial yet for breaking into the damn Capitol. But anyway.
But we have a special award. I'm sorry, Kettle. Did you have anybody else?
Tori Spelling, that April Fool's joke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one.
She said she was pregnant.
Yeah, nobody cares, Tori.
Really?
Okay, we have a special gift for everybody on this week's Kiss and Listen.
Kiss my entire ass.
Kiss my Irish ass. You better kiss my Irish ass.
This world, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
You can just.
If you got a problem,
Hi, right, welcome back to the Pajama Party. When he was Papa Dee, I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine.
Bonsoir, darling. We about to wrap this thing up. Put a bow on it and pack it. Ship it out. Ooh, what's your last word tonight, Papa Dee?
My last word is just be careful out there. There's just so much going on. I mean, even when I'm driving, man, people are preoccupied. A joke almost gave me like a head-on collision, just preoccupied on a cell phone or whatever. I mean, I was a little ways away from them, and I see them like over in my lane, and I'm like, and this is on a residential street. I pulled over like I was in the parking space. I'm like, what the hell is on people's mind today? Everybody's preoccupied with some bullshit. Please put that phone down, get more sleep. You know, just better yourself, because some people are on edge. They're on the edge. I don't know what you're doing, they trying to jockey people, mess with two different lives, messing with this one on the east side of town, messing with that one on the west side of town. I'm talking ladies and gentlemen, so we ain't going to even separate that. But anyway, you know, calm down, cool out. It, you know, we all got to live in this world, so anyway, just be careful. That's all I got.
Okay. Over to you, Kettle. What's your last word? Oh, was it me? Okay, I'll go next.
My last word
is the disrespect of black people by the media when you're showing the violence and the trauma against us, especially in a video loop, needs to stop.
And then they say, well, be careful, what we're about to show is graphic.
And we caution you, this may be disturbing.
Yeah, we caution you.
Anytime you have to preempt a video with that kind of warning, then that's a sign that you don't need to show it.
And you sure don't see no white folks getting their heads blown off.
And that's all I'm
getting
saying.
Getting hit by cars.
If you want to start showing people getting jacked up, show everybody. But don't just pick us.
Yeah, they do.
And show the trauma and the violence against black people. I'm tired of that bull. That mess needs to stop. I think we as black people need to collectively start reaching out to our various news channels saying, we don't want to see that anymore. And I think if enough of us did that, they would stop it. As long as nobody complains, it's going to continue. So I'm just saying, let's just start reaching out to the local media and telling them, we don't want to see that stuff anymore. That's my last one.
All right. I like that. I don't think there's that many things else to say. I mean, all the things that you're saying, I did want to say. But like Papa said, just be kind to one another. I mean, you know, step back, take a chill pill. And like I said, be kind to one another. I don't want to say what's going on in this world, but, you know, it's a lot of mental health going on, and maybe we need to, you know, reach for, you know, whoever you pray to. It could be Allah, it could be a Buddha, it could be whoever, whatever. But it's God for me. And you have to have some kind of scruples, morals, or some kind of faith out here to survive.
Yeah.
And, you know, before you go out here in this crazy world now, you have to cover yourself in such a way as far as prayer or some type of, you know, force to cover you. Because there's just so much going on out here. And we just need to come together as a nation and just figure it out. And I wish the mayor some help, too. I'm going to send her, you know, some help. I'm gonna send her my help. I'm laying upstairs. She needs it. She needs it. You know. But
I said 4 or 5 years ago. I told her that all this development in D.C. is gonna come back and bite her in the butt. Because the developer's main dog gonna be the next mayor. One of her best friends, she thinks, will be the next mayor. Anyway.
And let us not forget the family of the Capitol police officer who lost his life today, trying to defend the Capitol.
And the other one was hurt also.
Yeah, and the one that's in the hospital.
Yeah. It's supposed to keep us safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Pray for one another. That's all I can tell you. And like I said earlier, if you're feeling stressed out and frustrated, and if you're on the verge of feeling like you want to go get a gun and bust a cap in somebody, don't do it. Just go outside or open the window and just yell.
Well, like Stevie Wonder says, just go have a talk with God.
There you go.
That's on
all
there.
Right,
have a talk with God. Stick your head out of a window. Scream as loud as you can.
Songs in the
Release
key of life.
Frustration, but killing one another is not the answer.
Songs in the key of life.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to some
Jesse and listen to that songs in the key of life. Stevie Wonder
mm-hmm.
sings
yeah.
about
find some
everything.
To calm you down. Pray. Meditate. Do whatever you got to do. But we got to, you know, embrace one another because life is short.
Yeah.
And this mm-hmm. stuff that's going on is making it shorter.
Yeah, it's getting crazy.
But
because it's coming full circle. And we're beginning to see the realism of who's really who.
Yeah.
Who's got home training mm-hmm. and who really don't have home training.
Yeah.
Because and some of this stuff going on, these politicians are just trying to make up for all the loss that they never received as children. That's why they got all this going on. They ain't got no damn home training.
But we're
anyway.
Not here for all that. We're not here to try to give you what your mama didn't.
Yeah.
If you missed out on that, I don't know what to tell you.
Look.
But going out buying AR, what are those things?
15.
AR-15. That's not the answer.
And they selling them to them boys just as quick as they want to buy them.
But we do
anyway.
Want to give a special shout out to all of our listeners and our supporters from the east to the west, north to the south, and everything overseas. We appreciate you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for listening, really.
Share the word. Tell somebody about Pajama Party Show. Hit us up online at apajamaparty.com.
9 o'clock every Friday night. 6 o'clock on the West Coast.
There it is. All right. We're going to get on out of here. And we will reconvene. The next service will be 9 p.m. Eastern
mm-hmm.
next Friday night. Won't you be here and join us?
Happy Good Friday. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. That's right.
Enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. Dye some eggs or something. Get you some egg dye. Hard-boiled eggs and get you some dye and a little paint.
Or
eggs.
Taking it way back, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put the dye in little cups and get you some eggs and boil them up and then put it in the dye and then turn around the other way and dye on the other
just
side.
Just scramble them or fry them. Or make an omelet, whatever
you
want
to
do.
Put the fake grass in the middle of the table.
Well, it's time to say goodnight. So we're going to say goodnight, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Friday night. Say goodnight, Papa Didi.
Good night. Put some fake grass on the middle of the table.
Say
put some jelly beans in it. And a big
good
old
night.
Bunny in there. Throw some peeps in there.
And this is Red Wine saying bonsoir till next Friday night. Peace.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I bid you farewell, arrivederci, sayonara, and all that sort of cheers.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Well, good night.
Yabiko, Sana.
I regret to announce this is the end. I'm going now.
Good night, and good luck.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Now give me a kiss and say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for attending our show. And good night.
Put on a party. Roll a set day. Put on a party. Party crew.